The Asus hardware debate, whether AI features are meaningful or cosmetic, echoes something that's running through the software world right now, and it's captured in one of the more philosophically interesting posts today. The blog post titled, "Software Engineering Fundamentals Matter More Than Ever," which got 172 points and 103 comments on a Sunday morning. Which is respectable.
The author's argument is essentially a reaction to the widespread adoption of AI code assistants. The concern isn't that AI tools make developers less capable in some abstract sense, it's that they create specific failure modes for developers who don't have strong fundamentals. When an AI assistant generates code that looks plausible and passes surface-level tests, but contains subtle bugs in concurrency, memory management, or security, a developer without deep fundamentals won't catch it.
The comment thread is split along predictable lines, but there's a more interesting sub-debate running underneath it about what fundamentals actually means in 2026. Some commenters argue that fundamentals means understanding computer architecture, operating systems, and algorithms at the level of being able to implement them from scratch. Others argue that fundamentals means being able to read, test, and reason about code you didn't write, which is a somewhat different skill set.
I think there's a third framing that the post gestures at, but doesn't fully develop. The fundamentals that matter most in an AI-assisted development environment are the ones that let you evaluate outputs rather than produce them. That's a genuine shift in emphasis. Being able to spot a subtle race condition in generated code is a different skill from being able to write concurrent code from memory, though they're related.
The DuckDB async I or O post is exactly the kind of deep technical writing that performs well on HN. 175 points, 20 comments, and the post itself is a detailed walkthrough of how the DuckDB team implemented asynchronous I or O using a work-stealing thread pool architecture. The title Work Thread Work is a bit of a pun on the threading model, but the content is substantive.
For those not deep in the database internals world, DuckDB is an in-process analytical database. Think SQLite, but optimized for OLAP workloads rather than transactional ones. It's become a central piece of the modern data stack for local analytics, and the async I or O work is aimed at improving performance when reading from remote storage like S3. The challenge is that async I or O in a system that also needs to maintain predictable query performance requires careful work scheduling that doesn't block the query execution threads.
The solution they describe, a dedicated I or O thread pool that hands off work to execution threads asynchronously, isn't novel in concept, but the implementation details and performance results are well documented. The comment thread has several database engineers noting that this is a solved problem in various ways across different systems, but that DuckDB's constraint of being embeddable and having a minimal footprint makes the engineering trade-offs genuinely different.
The ZHH history bug hunt is the kind of debugging story that the HN community consistently rewards, and it earned its 82 points. Michael Stapelberg documents tracking down a bug where ZHH was silently truncating shell history under specific conditions. The investigation methodology is exemplary: systematic hypothesis testing, bisecting through configuration options, and ultimately finding a decades-old interaction between ZHH's history-sharing mechanism and file-locking behavior.
What I appreciate about this piece is that it's not a "here's the fix" post. It's a "here's how I found the fix" post. And those are more valuable for anyone trying to develop debugging skills. The intermediate steps where Stapelberg's hypothesis was wrong are documented as carefully as the steps where it was right.
This connects directly back to the fundamentals debate. The tools for finding this kind of bug, strace, LSOF, understanding how file locks work at the kernel level, are exactly the kind of knowledge that doesn't get exercised when you're working primarily with AI-generated code in a loop of generate, test, generate. You don't need to know how file locks work until you desperately need to know how file locks work.
The Numba in the browser piece is worth a quick mention. 48 points for a post about running Numba, Python's JIT compiler for numerical code, inside JupyterLite via WebAssembly. The achievement here is getting a genuinely complex compilation stack. Numba uses LLVM under the hood, working in a browser environment without a server. for scientific computing education and lightweight data analysis without infrastructure, this is meaningful work.
The Unicode Ghost Characters story got 234 points, and it's one of those pieces you start reading as a curiosity and finish having learned something genuinely strange about how knowledge gets transmitted. The A Spectre is Haunting Unicode title is doing a lot of work. The ghost characters are real Unicode code points that exist because early transcriptions of Japanese character dictionaries contained errors that were themselves transcribed faithfully into digital encodings.
So these are characters that don't correspond to any actual historical glyph or word. They're artifacts of copying errors that propagated through multiple generations of reference works before anyone caught them. And because Unicode is conservative about removing code points once assigned, they're now permanent fixtures of the standard. There's something almost poignant about it. Characters with no meaning that will outlast any particular language or encoding scheme because they made it into the standard.
The comment thread explores the broader question of how Unicode handles mistakes and the governance challenges of an encoding standard that has to balance stability. Existing encoded text should remain valid against accuracy. It's a useful case study in how technical standards accumulate technical debt, not through bad intentions, but through the compounding of individually reasonable decisions.